Back at those words that we read in Matthew chapter 7, where the Lord Jesus Christ says something really quite incredible. So incredible, it's quite hard to believe. And in fact, a lot of us probably don't really believe it. It's so incredible. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. That kind of firm promise. That's what we're looking at tonight. We sing those words on a Tuesday night in Bang. And I would sing it to you now, but that wouldn't help any of us. But these words are very easy to remember when you sing them. If you want to know how the tune goes, ask Al Ed afterwards and he'll sing it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, if you could ask for absolutely anything, what would it be? Okay, if you had one wish, if you could come here tonight and know that if you asked for this, you'd have it right away, what would you ask for? What is it that you want more than you want anything else? Maybe, if you're honest, you just want your mortgage to be paid off, like that would really help. Or maybe you just want your family to be happy and all the chaos to not be there. And maybe you wish you didn't have any pain anymore, physically you didn't ache, that you weren't emotionally troubled anymore, that you didn't have times when you were so stressed out and anxious and fed up, that you felt like you couldn't even cope. Maybe you'd ask for those things. Wouldn't it be great if you could come here tonight, you could ask for whatever it is you wanted and you'd get it? Well, what if you were to come here tonight and you were to ask for even more than that? Ask for way more. What if tonight you were to come here and ask to have God, to have him, all of him, nothing held back? What if you were to come here tonight and ask for that and to get it? Well, the words of Jesus Christ here are so astounding because they say, if you ask, if you seek after God, you can have him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Want him, desire him, ask for him. Want to have him more than you want anything else. Put him first above all else. If you want him, he says, you can have him. Now, we've thought already about the fact, haven't we, that this God is a great God. Surely, you can't ask for him. Surely you can't have him. Surely that's asking too much. To have him. Because he's more valuable than anything in all the world. Surely asking for him, you're asking too much. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Ask and you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. You know, tonight you might have come here. I don't know how much stuff you've got in this world. I don't know how great your life might be. Maybe you feel pretty sorted. But you come here tonight and you can leave this place having more than you've ever had. You could come in here tonight, no matter what your circumstances are, and you could leave here having God as your God. This is a tremendous promise. Tonight you could leave having more than all the world. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So tonight what we're looking at really is this theme of our need, our great need. I wonder if you come here tonight knowing how much you need. And of God's generosity in providing for us. He says, doesn't he, you're not perfect people, but even you are good to your children. If they ask you for one thing, you don't give them something horrible instead.
And he says, how much more will your Father who is perfect, how much more will he give good things to those who ask? And so we're thinking about that tonight, our need. But it's surrounded by the generosity of God. And so I want us to think in those terms about what God has to give, the wealth of God, and then our need. And then I want us to wrap it up by thinking about God's willingness to provide for our need. And so, the wealth of God. How much does God have? How much does he have? Well, God's got everything. Everything God wants, he has it. Doesn't need anything at all. All he wants, he has. And so how much could God give? How much could he offer to me tonight? Well, everything. Everything you need, no matter what it might be, God has it. And more than that, not only does he have everything you could possibly need, but he is everything. God is of infinite value. You could never buy God, because God is worth more than everything in the world combined. He's of infinite value. Who he is, that is his character, what the Bible would call his glory, it's endless. There's just so much to him. You could spend your whole life from start to end investigating God and trying to know him better, and you wouldn't scratch the surface. There's always more to him. He's rich beyond all comparison in his glory. He's got more to him than anything else. He's got enough to meet every need. But the Bible would tell us that all of who God is, all the riches and the value, the weight of his glory that he has, is found in his Son. And his Son has come to us. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, who we come here every week to meet with and to worship, in him, all the character, the weight, the glory, the value of God is there. The Lord Jesus Christ is precious above everything else. There's nothing at all that is worth more than Jesus Christ. He's worth more to God than anything. God looks at him and he loves him. And not only is he worth more to God, he's worth more full stop. He's just so valuable. Everything else that you might value is valued in comparison to him, and it's just not enough. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the most valuable person there has ever been. So when you think of God and when you think of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, how much glory do you think there is there? Well, there's a wealth of glory. He's a wealthy God. He has everything. He is everything. And so he's worth more than everything put together. In the Old Testament of the Bible, in the book of Micah, a question is asked, who is a God like you? And there's no answer given. And the implication is, there's no one like him. He's just so great in mercy and love and goodness and holiness and justice and perfection. He's just so great. Who is a God like him? Well, no one. He's worth more than anything. God is a wealthy God. Doesn't need anything. But in comparison with that, we are needy people. God has everything, and in comparison, we have nothing. Nothing we can call our own. We are needy people. Now, you might think of other people as being more needy than yourself, but in comparison with God, we have nothing. We're dependent people. No one is really independent, no matter how hard we try to be. We all need to be provided for. Somehow we need someone else to provide for us. Maybe there's people in your life that you think are bad news and you cut them off. But if you cut them off, there's other people you'll need instead. We're never fully independent. We're dependent not just on each other, but on God. Do you know, we came here tonight and we're dependent on God even for every breath we breathe. We come here, nothing is our own, not even our lives. Everything is given by Him. And so we need Him. We need Him physically. Our bodies need to be sustained. But really, tonight I want to tell you, as much as your body needs to be sustained, so does your soul. You see, you're not just a body with a brain. You've got a soul. Your soul is who you are before God. Your soul is really who you are. And you know, your soul, deep down within, your soul is needy, just like your body is. Your soul has longings, cravings, desperate desires. Your soul wants things. It needs things. It wants to enjoy things, and it wants to delight. It wants to find rest. It wants to be satisfied, like that song we sang at the start, like a deer that's been running away from something, and it's thirsty and it's panting, desperate for water. In the same way, we need something. Our souls are needy. Tonight, if you come here with a soul that is thirsty, do you know that deep down in your soul, you need something? You're desperate. We're needy people. We've got needy souls. And because you have a need in your soul, you aim to satisfy that need, to fulfill those desires, those cravings that you've got. Now, you might have tried all sorts of things. You long to be successful. Maybe you long for a stable life. So that you can just rest a little bit. You long for all your troubles to be gone. Maybe you go looking for all sorts of weird and wonderful experiences to try and excite you or give you something. Maybe you've tried various substances. Maybe you try and be around certain people. Maybe you try and laugh a lot or cry a lot or just give in to everything you want or everything you're offered. And still, you've come here tonight having done all those things and you still have that sense of need. You're still thirsty. You're still desperate and longing. And the reason for that is that our needy souls were made for more than all this world has to offer. Do you know, when God made man, he made us out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Without him, we're nothing. We don't have a soul. Our soul is given by God. And it is made for God, to know God, to enjoy God. The reason I would suggest that you come here tonight having tried all sorts of things to satisfy the cravings of your soul, but still you come here tonight with those cravings, the reason is this: your soul was made for more. Only God can meet the needs of your soul. And so your soul... your soul is troubled, and it desperately wants to find rest. Are you fed up, stressed out? You can't cope anymore. Everything's just getting too much. Your soul is troubled. It longs to find rest. Your soul is broken. It doesn't seem to work how it should, and it needs to be fixed. Your soul is guilty. You've got all sorts of regrets, and you need them dealt with and taken away. You need real forgiveness. And you've got this sense of shame, and you just wish that could be taken away. Sounds so good, doesn't it? That you could come to a place like this tonight, nothing special, and we come and we meet with this God, knowing that we need his help. Come here with all those needs, and desperate to be satisfied. You know, if your soul is like that, if you really are longing, if you really are desperate and nothing has worked, how can that be sorted? What can be done? You might say, I've come here tonight, I've tried absolutely everything and nothing has worked. What can be done? Jesus Christ says, just ask. Just ask. Seems so simple, doesn't it? Got these deep needs, nothing has worked, just ask. You see, we are dependent people, dependent on God. All we need to do is to ask, to seek him, to persistently knock on his door, if you like, until he comes to us. Now this, in one sense, is the easiest thing in the world to do. Just ask. But it's not easy. To ask for help means you have to give up all your pride. You have to give up on the idea that you can sort yourself out. You have to admit that you're in need. You have to ask for help. To seek God means to acknowledge that you're not good enough to satisfy all your own needs. To seek God means to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is worth more than anything, and then to pursue after him, to chase after him. And to knock means to approach the throne room of God, and to hammer on his door and to wait for him to come and to answer. And so, that's what Jesus tells us to do. Ask, seek, knock. But maybe you'll say, well, what can I ask for? Come on, there's got to be some kind of catch. Well, we're to come and to bring his own desires to him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. To come to him, to know him, and to fall in love with him, to desire him, to want him, and then to ask him for whatever it is he would give us. One place you could start would be earlier on in this section of the Bible called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus taught us how to pray, what to say to God, to ask God what he's told us to ask for. And so we've gone through it in quite some detail, splitting up the different phrases, but just go through it. Come and ask for a father's welcome, that Almighty God would welcome you in like a father would a child. Ask that he would be honored, that he would be glorified in you and in the world around you. Ask that his kingdom would come, that he would reign over everything. Ask that things would be done his way, that he would have his way in your life. And then ask him for what you need, for your daily provision. Lord, I need this. Would you give it to me? And ask him to forgive you of all your sins. all of them. And ask him to protect you from temptation and evil, and to strengthen you to live for him. You know what's wonderful? When you combine the words of the Lord's Prayer with the words that we're looking at tonight, you can ask those things and know with confidence you'll get them. Ask, and it will be given to you. Tonight, Lord, forgive me all I've ever done. It'll be given to you. Lord, protect me from myself and from the way I like to live my life and from any temptation that will come my way. You'll give it to you. God is a wealthy God. He's got everything. We are needy people. But God is a God who is willing to provide for all of our needs. This is, you know, it's dead simple in a way. I could have just read the passage. And if we trust what he says, it's true. But it's as simple as this. We ask, and he gives. We ask him, and he gives. Because not only is God a rich God, a wealthy God, but God is a generous God. A God who loves to provide for all of our needs. He's rich beyond all splendor. He's glorious. But for our sakes, he became poor. You see, the gospel message, the message that we come and gather around every Sunday, the message that has transformed the lives of many people here, is that God, who has everything, has given it all for us who have nothing. Sees people like us in all our need. He knows there's nothing we could offer him. There's nothing he needs. And still he gives it all for us. And so he's a God who generously provides. He provides for our material needs. We saw a few weeks ago, earlier on in chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, those words where the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, there's no need to worry about the material things, your clothes or your food, because God has everything you need and loves to provide for those who are his own. Do you know, he only gives to us what is good. He's a good father. You know, you might be going through some pretty dark experiences. God only gives what is for our good. Paul said this morning, didn't he, about being a parent and knowing better than his children, and it being a lovely experience when his children just say, you know what, I disagree, but I'm going with you. I don't know how often that happens in your houses. A parent wants what's best for their child. You know, God only gives us what is good. He's a good father. He's eager to bless us, to give us what is good. If you've come here tonight, whatever the need of your soul might be, and you want to know God's blessing, you know, God wants to give you his blessing even more. You might want to know God and have him meet all the deepest needs of your soul. Do you know, God wants to do that even more. And not only does he provide for our material needs, you see, he provides for the need of your soul. See, the real need of your soul is to be forgiven of all you've ever done and to be made new. To have all the past wiped away and to be transformed into a new person. All the wrong that you have ever done and all the brokenness and the wrong that is inside you, it's got to be dealt with. But perhaps we can't seem to deal with those things. You know the sense of brokenness you've got? And you know the bad things you do. I wonder if you've ever tried to sort them out. to put things straight. What have you tried to do to deal with the need of your soul? And has it worked? You see, you need to be made perfect. You need to be made righteous. All the wrong has got to be gone. You've got to be made pure and holy. The problem is you've got to be made so righteous. You've got to be made more righteous than anyone else on earth. Jesus said, unless your righteousness is bigger and better than the best of the people on this earth, it's not going to be good enough. You need to be made more righteous than you know how. But how can I be made righteous? It's just not possible. I've tried absolutely everything. I've come here tonight at my wit's end. How can I be made righteous? Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. You know, tonight you can come here no matter what it is you've done, no matter what it is that haunts you, no matter what it is that you are as you sit here tonight, you can cry out to God. All of it can be dealt with. Have you come here tonight desperately longing for your past to be dealt with, for your sin to be forgiven, for your soul to be put right? If you have, just ask. Do you feel like there's a longing in your soul to be made right with God, and it just feels so hopeless? Just ask. Jesus said, in fact, of people like that who long to be made right, that is a real blessing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who desperately long to be made right, because they will be filled. They will be given those desires. So we can say, all I have needed, his hand has provided. Even for my sin, he's provided for it. Through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent him into the world, and his Son went and died on a cross and was punished for all the sins that I had committed. Punished to take away my sin. And because of that, I can be forgiven of it. I cannot be punished for it because it's been dealt with already. God has provided even for your sin. He's given everything. He didn't even spare or hold back his own Son. But he sent his Son, and Jesus died to deal with my sin. And he rose again from the dead and was made new, if you like, so that people like me who trust in him could have my sins forgiven at the cross, and that I could be made new, and that I could hope that one day I would rise to be with him. And so, because God has provided for my sin, tonight I'm clean. The deep need of my soul has been provided for. He's done it. He who gave his own Son didn't spare him, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him graciously give us all things? You see, God, having given his Son, has given his all. Surely he's not going to hold anything back from us now. We've got to realize two things as we come to this passage, as we think about our dependence on God and his willingness to provide for us. Two things. One is we've got to begin to understand how great our need is. I wonder tonight, do you realize how much you are in need of God to have all your wrong dealt with? We've got to realize how great our need is, but we've also got to realize how great the Lord Jesus Christ is and how much grace he has to offer. In fact, we've got to realize that what Jesus Christ has to offer is even greater than my need. You see, that doesn't diminish how needy we are. We're desperately poor, but Jesus Christ is even more rich. He's got more to offer than you need. Some of us here tonight can say we've received from the Lord Jesus Christ forgiveness of all our sins, but just because I've received it doesn't mean there's not enough left for you. Tonight, you could have that. You see, as we see this generous God, we are to stand back and to marvel at his generosity. Be amazed. Amazed at all that he has. And amazed at the fact that he's willing to give it all for me. And then we are to ask. Ask. We do that here every Wednesday night. And it'd be great for as many who come as possible. I was reflecting with a few people at lunchtime about how lovely it's been in recent weeks that we've all gathered in there and we've been calling upon God. Do you know when we go to that meeting, we're not just doing it because we feel we have to. We're coming because we're needy. We're coming because God has all that we need and we are asking him for it. Do you plead with God? Do you call out to God for whatever your need is, for yourself and on behalf of others? Are your children saved? If they're not, do you care? And if you do, call out to God to save them. You know, if you've known this blessing for yourself and you know of others who don't, call out to God. You know, the reason I'm a Christian is because God, in his grace, in his kindness, has saved me. There's nothing I've done to sort that out, and there's nothing anyone else has done to sort that out. God has sorted it out. But one of the means that God used, I believe very firmly, was the prayers of an old lady. I love my family very dearly. They're very good to me. They're far better to me than I am to them. Many of you know that recently my grandmother passed away. And she was a funny lady in a lot of ways. Many of you might have met her, and you've probably all been offended by her. Lovely, lovely. She probably squeezed your cheeks or something, I don't know. But one of the things she did, every day before I was born, and throughout my life, was every day she prayed for me. Every morning and every night. You know, before I woke up most mornings, my little old grandmother was beside her bed on her arthritic knees, pleading with God to save my soul. Do you know, I think that was one of the means that God used to save me. Don't undervalue this. Don't trust so much in the God who's sovereign and can do whatever he pleases that you don't think to cry out to him and ask him. Plead with him. Not just for your children and your grandchildren and your friends and neighbors and colleagues and for yourself. Cry out to him for whatever the need is. Plead with God. I wonder tonight, do you know what it is to beg God, to plead with God? If you don't, if perhaps you've never asked God for help, do you know, you can ask him now. You can ask him now to forgive you, and right now you could be forgiven. Your sin could be dealt with. All of it could be sorted out and put away. And even the shame that comes with that sin, that could be sorted. You come, you think, I've got nothing left to offer. Do you know that's exactly where you need to be? When we have exhausted our stores of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, Our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and he gives and he gives again. You can come to him now and ask, and he will give. And if you seek him tonight, if you want to know God, if you seek him, you'll find him. One of the best things about the God of the Bible is that he's not hiding. Tonight, you could find him. He says, if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. That can be true for each one of us. Has your faith grown cold? Does it feel like hard work? Maybe time with the Lord feels difficult. Maybe you've not known a blessing in that for a long time. Do you know, as you open his word, perhaps quietly on your own, and you read it, don't just do it because you feel like you have to. Seek him. Want to know him. As you open his word, ask to meet with Jesus Christ and to live your life alongside him. Ask him. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we're told, often the truth is, you don't have because you don't ask. Just ask. Seek him and you will find him. Today, I hear this so often from Christians. We live in spiritually dark days. I understand what that means. But rather than moping around, have we asked him? Have we asked him to come and meet with us? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And he'll welcome you in. I want you to imagine approaching a big, beautiful, intimidating building. And you've gone there to meet with someone who's very important. And as you approach, the door is terrifying. And then you reach up and you knock the door. And you are scared of what response you might get. And the door opens and you're welcomed in warmly. See, that's what we're saying here. We don't just approach a big, important, impressive, intimidating building. Tonight we approach heaven itself, the throne room of God. We're coming to where God is. And we're coming perhaps looking particularly shabby and feeling intimidating. We come to where that holy God is, separated from this ruined universe and ruined people. We come to a perfect place, a place that is fearfully perfect, and we come and we knock on that door, and we are welcomed in warmly. Today, the gate is open, and all who enter in will find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. Tonight, knock on that door. Come to God, and you'll be welcomed in. Today, that door stands open to all who knock. And so come in. Approach Almighty God. As you come to God, what have you been? What have you done? What are you carrying with you as you come to him? Do you know, whatever it is, you can be welcomed in. Whatever it is, you can deal with it. There's no barrier too big that God can't deal with it. Tonight, knock on his door. Plead with him to save you, and he will. And so, as we close tonight, we need to see God in all his beauty and his worth, all his value. And we need to see our own need. And we are to long for him and to ask him to help us. And he said that he will. Do you know, we're told in the Bible that we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. That we're to call upon him while he's near. Tonight, God is near. Tonight, God may be found. Tonight, you can come to him. So come to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your word, that all of us, no matter how great our need, whatever we've done or been, can come and ask you to accept us, and you will. And Lord, we come here with all sorts of different things troubling us. We come here with sin and guilt and shame, and ask that you would deal with it all. We ask that you would provide for us in all that we need, but most of all, Lord, deal with our souls. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we'll sing to close. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. We'll stand to sing.